four seats in the back.
That is all.
This is the Village of Greenwood zoning board of appeals regular meeting, June 20th, 2017. Item number one is motion to accept the minutes of May 16th, 2017, ZBA meeting. So.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Item number two, motion to approve the minutes, of the April 28th, 2017, ZBA meeting. So.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I abstain.
One abstention. Item number three, motion to schedule the next ZBA meeting for July 18th, 2017, at 6 PM at Station 1 of the Greenwood Fire Department. So.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item number four, motion to accept the application of Michael Kimmick, 429 6th Street, Greenwood, New York, 11944, Suffolk County Tax Map Number 1001-6-3-5. Mr. Kimmick?
I've got a couple of extra copies of the, map. Would this be helpful?
Yes.
Here you go.
It's an extra?
It's an extra.
You don't need one?
I don't need it. After a while, you kind of use it.
Does that make a version of this?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's the same one. If you look on there, your question to me was, the map does show the proposed sewer line extension off of, Corwin Street, basically, coming in. There's an existing, there was just a building that was put up on Corwin Street that the sewer line was extended over to. And then we would come off of that back into that lot. However, the water line is a different matter because even though it's easily accessible from Corwin, Suffolk County water jurisdiction ends at that lot line. So in a sense, that lot is part of the Greenport Village water system. So the water for the lot would come from 6th Street.
I'm not sure.
Go figure.
Probably in Suffolk County, probably a Suffolk County water supply customer.
I think it's a function of whose meter it is.
Yeah, I don't think it works that way. Greenport water, even though it's owned by Suffolk County Water Authority, so.
Does that mean?
Oh, I don't know if it's got meter. I can look into that.
Well, that's your issue. We don't have to.
I had contacted them directly, and I was surprised when they said thanks but no thanks, basically, because I had asked, you know, to make sure we where the water line was, we can extend it. And they said, yeah, we can extend it up the line, but we can't serve it.
Well, I'm satisfied. If the building department is satisfied and the utility department is satisfied, would you bring the water from 6th Street? I can't speak for my colleagues, but I'm kind of.
It's the only feasible way we could come. Unfortunately, it would have been more convenient and easier for Corwin Shore, you know, if in fact.
And just one more question about Corwin Street. The sewer is in fact not on Corwin Street. The sewer is on 7th Street.
Well, there's a sewer line. There's a sewer manhole existing on 7th Street right now. But my understanding is that they extended the sewer line from that manhole to serve the new house, basically.
I didn't see any road construction. I didn't see any.
I'm not quite sure. I can't believe that he has on-site sewer.
I can look into that.
The manhole on 7th Street stops midway between Colton and Flint.
Yeah.
Lynette.
I don't know about the new pickup. I do know that the manhole on 7th Street is where the village will pick up and install from there.
And just one other question. Do you know Mr. James and Jennifer Kennedy, if they in fact have septic or they?
I don't. It's outside of my jurisdiction. I can look into it.
Yeah.
Mr. Kimick, I ask you.
You know, I looked at it originally, all of them, I think, have public water, basically, and, which is the critical key, even for that one piece of property on Corwin there, because I cannot believe that they would have been able to get Health Department approval for an onsite septic system, given the fact that the well had to be 150 feet away. In a sense, I don't think they put their own...
Well, I even believe that we, don't we have, isn't it part of our code that if you're in a sewer district, you're obligated?
Generally, you're required, if, most sewer districts, and I've set one up, basically, I've done a number of sewer lines, et cetera. Normally, there's a requirement, if you're in the sewer district, within certain feet, you are required to hook up. Otherwise, people are just putting in their own systems. So I suspect that, except perhaps, that's just the baby grandfather.
No, you are required to be hooked up to...
Absolutely.
If there is service, if you go.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a couple of more questions that I might have is, we have a letter that you sent to the building inspector that the one-family house on lot, the proposed one-family house on lot one is going to be a two-family house.
Well, it is a two-family house now, basically.
But you were going to make it a one-family house, is that...
Originally, that was the consideration, and then they decided to leave it alone as a two-family house, basically, as it is.
So what am I reading here? What am I reading? One-family house or two-family?
The existing house on lot one is a two-family house. Two-family houses now exist.
But the proposal was to convert it to a one-family?
Well, originally, that was the thought, basically, and then they realized that perhaps the better choice would be to leave it alone at two, but make lot number two a one-family house, and we can be restricted to that.
And we're going to see something as far as the sewer, perhaps?
We're going to revise the floor plans and...
Yeah, you've got the revised floor plans in there for the two-family and for the one-family. The one-family is on the one that faces Corwin Street, which is lot number two.
I don't have a revised floor plan for a two-family house. This rendering doesn't show what you have.
A100 is the existing two-family house.
Right.
A100 shows...
I don't see it.
A100 dated January 9th, 2017, looks to me, like a one-family house. That's the package that you just handed.
A100
is the...
Is it kitchen?
Yeah, this.
On the second floor.
Well, yeah, Michael.
I don't have this.
What's the date of your A100?
I can get you what I
get. What's the date of your A100?
This one here.
It should be right here.
I got 228.7. Yeah.
Well, I have 1927.
All right. I'll get you. How many copies?
Five.
Okay. No problem.
And unless you have to get a copy.
No, this is all January 9th.
Just so.
I know that the money is planning all that. I will get you these. I'll get you five copies.
Okay.
Basically, that's pretty much everything else on the lots basically pretty much stay the same.
May I ask a question here?
Absolutely.
Is the, this is the January 9th that was handed out.
Right.
Is this where the kitchen would be?
This and then we can do it.
Well, we've submitted so many drawings, can I just say that again? And this is like the seventh round of drawings, 2/28/17, thank you.
May I just have a quick picture copy?
Please. I may have that.
We don't have a set of plans.
I can leave that, if you can get extra copies.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sets of plans.
No problem.
Maybe somebody made a mistake in their office, and you handed it in, fine.
Yes.
Swing it up.
Well, I don't think...
It's not about the house, it's about the setbacks.
I was just going to say, we're concerned about land use. As far as the full plan of the house, we can certainly wait till it brings them on the side.
Yeah. All right, other than...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, you have a question.
My question has to do with the survey shows a proposed property line with part of the garage on one side. Is that...
No, there's an existing garage which is going to be demolished. That's the dotted line.
That's what DPM...
To be demolished, yeah. That's really off now, basically, and then the other garage.
Your application says you can move that garage.
So where will the new garage be for this?
It'll be on lot number one, basically, that one.
So there won't be a garage on the new lot, on lot two?
Well, there'll be one on each one. There'll be, that one will be knocked down. There'll be a new one on lot one, a garage, which meets the minimum setback requirement from the back line and the side line.
And what about lot two?
At lot two, there'll be one that is in the front.
As it was proposed originally.
As it was proposed originally,
okay.
Yes.
Right. That's
which is basically...
We need a variance.
You need a variance because it's the only reasonable place to put the garage, basically. So given the configuration of the lot and given the setbacks on the back side and the fact that trying to get to the back of the lot from Corwin Street would be rather...
Well, we're going to talk about that.
We
accept the application.
So okay.
We'll talk about that. The other thing I'm going to ask is we have the planner's report. We know you've been to the planning board. Mm-hmm. We have the planner's report. I mean, are we too soon that the planning board has no comment?
No comment.
Well, I'm gonna ask, as is the policy now, and the plan even mentions it in here, that when we review this application, we shall request the planning board to provide a written recommendation concerning the proposed variances. The planning board didn't issue a statement. The planner gave us, in all fairness to us, we can get it from your notice of disapproval.
I understand, but that's what Devin chose to do. Devin says we have no comment, it needs ZBA. Please submit this report to the...
Just to stay within the process, Christina. I'm making that request now to the planning board that they make comments on the proposed variances. And if they have no comments on the proposed variances, for them to say that. Is that okay?
Has that planner's report been distributed because I've not seen it?
It has.
It's all in your package.
You hear me?
I'm positive.
Okay.
We're going to cut out this slide. We just got to play this.
Okay.
Is that which one of the maps?
That's Oh, please.
There's a way in the back.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, which is the data.
Hey, Doc. Plan makes a comment. Plan's required.
Yeah.
That was the policy that we set, that was the policy we set, when we set up this process. Every pencil plan is. Well, I'll put it to a vote, if you seem to object, I'll put it to a vote.
I'm just trying to correct what I think is mistaken. There is a comment from the planning board following the chart, and you say it's by the planner, but nothing says that.
I got my information from the building inspector.
I'm looking at the document, though, and there's a comment about the impact of the project. If this is the comment of the planning consultant or something, I would think it would say that, I just.
Then I'll put it to the board.
It just should be clear.
I made a request that the planning board fulfills the policy that we will agree to and makes comment, written recommendations concerning the proposed variance. Either that will let us know they have no comments about the proposed variance. I made that request to the clerk.
Well, I think it's a reasonable and appropriate request. I'm saying that I think they have responded to that request, but perhaps the fact that it is not signed by either the planning consultant or the board itself.
Well, it should be signed by the chairman.
Moving on. A procedural oversight.
Problem.
I think it has significance because if this has to go back to another planning board meeting, it holds everything up by another month. So the.
The planning board meets after us. The planning board meets after this meeting and before our next meeting.
They meet twice before the next meeting.
Anything else, Mr. Kimmy? David?
Yeah.
Yes, any questions?
This sewer thing, we don't quite understand. You're going to go out on lot number two and head west to Walnut Street, and then you have to go a block and then turn north to Second, Seventh Street?
David, at the present time, and I don't know the answer, whether I would have assumed that that new house hooked that existing manhole on 7th Street, because that's the only way they could get back to the sewer line. It would not necessarily be reasonable for me to believe that they put their own on-site septic on that lot, given the fact that the sewer was 70, 80 feet away.
Well, I don't think the building is complete.
Maybe they haven't.
The building is occupied.
If they haven't occupied it, maybe they haven't made a sewer connection to it right now. But we did have, when we were working some time ago with the town did say they would work with us to install the sewer line, to put that in. So.
Well, me personally, again, I can't speak for my colleagues. I'm content to let the building department
I'm very unfamiliar with what goes on beyond my jurisdiction. I can do research easy enough. Paul Powles did say that he worked with these folks to get them a sewer. They would be paying a reasonable fee for the extension. And I have an answer for you in a couple of days.
My problem is that sewer line on 7th Street is very shallow. If you have to travel any distance, you may not be able to hit that sewer line in gravity.
What happens is if, right here, your frost line is down about 3 feet to the top of the crown of the pipe. run sewer at 3 feet per second, that's your baseline. Why do I know this? Because I put it about 30,000 feet over the years for different municipalities. Depending upon if that sewer line is down on 7th Street 4 or 5 feet.
And I can assure you it's not.
If it's a little bit higher, if it comes up closer to the top of the line, what can be done primarily is normally, normally you put a sewer line in a ductile iron pipe, basically. And if it's closer, you've got a frost line issue, you simply break the frost line by putting 2 inches of insulation right on top of it, and it breaks the frost from coming down. So there are solutions to shallow lines.
What I'm saying to you is, and you haven't done the work, apparently, up to the...
I don't know the invert of that.
What I'm trying to say is, that's a shallow line with an invert very close to the surface. Mm-hmm. And do you, whatever distance you have to travel, which I can't tell, are you going to be able to hit the existing sewer?
There will be two ways of approaching that. Once you know what the invert is on 7th Street, you'll know basically with the pitch line coming back whether it makes sense to do that. If it doesn't, as an example, where it may be too shallow, as you're indicating, let's say it's 3 or 4 feet on 7th Street. By the time you get there, you're up to 2 feet or so like that. Then the other answer is easy. We put in a force main. We put in a 2-inch with a grinder pump at the house, and we pump it over. Then pitch doesn't matter, right to the manhole, eject it.
So could we know that before? I don't even know if it's going
well,
to be
I think we won't know that until we work with the town basically to determine exactly what's the best engineering method by which to do it. Either gravity feed it, if in fact we have enough pitch to the invert, or we put in a grinder pump and we inject it through a 2-inch force main. Because it's only domestic sewage, and once you grind it up to 2 inches, you take it. Not much of a head on that. It's almost flat all the way through there. It's an easy pump. So, but I don't know the answer until we know what the invert is.
That's what I'm saying. What's the invert?
Well, the town will let us know primarily.
The village, because it'll keep it clear.
Come back to the way?
No, the village will let you know the invert is. The town has nothing to do.
Yeah, the village will let us know basically. And once I know what the invert is and I know the distance and the pitch, I mean, I've done enough of this in my day to know whether it would be feasible to do the gravity feed or it would be more feasible to go to the to the force main. Either way, they're acceptable engineering solutions to the issue.
And we're asking, well, it's obvious why we're asking because, yeah.
I'm asking because I want to know.
Well, the interesting thing, too, to be fair, if in fact that house has not yet hooked up to the sewer line, they may have the same question, the same issue, depending upon what they're doing. Would they be able to gravity feed from that new building to the manhole? You try to hit the invert if you can. You really don't want to come above it and drop it in.
Because me personally, I haven't seen any. Obviously, I've seen building construction. And I went there the other day. I live on 6th Street. Mm-hmm. I went there the other day to see if, in fact, the lockout was still there. And some of the waterline markings are still there.
Okay. But it hasn't been cut yet then, apparently.
Nothing's been cut.
So if the water wasn't cut, then obviously they haven't gotten around to the sewer yet. What I can do basically is request that we've got some contours in the sea. What all I really need basically, because it's almost flat from that manhole over to the place, if we can pull it up and see what the invert is, you really don't need a contour. They can make the calculation pretty quickly.
That's what I want. But you gotta understand, apparently you're talking about a house under construction outside the village of Greenport.
Yes.
They have to pay up front room for the sewer system. It's a big number. I don't know what else. 15,000. And it would have to go to the village board for approval. So so it hasn't gone to the building board to my knowledge. So it's...
That potential building would be an outside rate pay. It would be an outside sewer customer.
Okay.
It's a $15 connection, a $15,000 connection fee. And it would have to be, like David said, approved by the building board.
So it's a question of they're even going to have...
Probably what I can do is find out exactly what decision has been made to provide sewer to that particular house. There has to be some design at the present time in terms of how it's going to be served. And once I know that...
There's also developed property next door. It's someplace I would rather not be, this conversation, as opposed to Lewis Marine next door or the house next door where they get their septic service. Me personally would rather leave that.
Well, we have limited information to give you anyway, basically. We know there's a manhole, we don't know what the invert is. We assume that the requirement would be to hook it up. We don't want to do on-site because that would be against the code. So the answer is we can get to that manhole, we can get sewer service. It's just a question as to what form it takes based upon what we find.
Okay.
That's all.
We said on requesting something from the planning board.
There's a policy that went into it, just if the public will just indulge me and the applicant. 6 or 8 months ago, there was a policy set between the village and the statutory village planning and zoning that when it came to subdivisions, the planning board would get the application. If there was a zoning issue, it would refer it to the Zoning Board of Appeals, but would also to comply with New York State Village Law, which you have here, it would also give their opinion, what does it say, recommendation, they would give their recommendations as to the variances requested, whatever their recommendations were. The Zoning Board would then address the zoning and take those recommendations into consideration, ignore them, incorporate them into our discussion. But the planning board is obligated by Greenwood Village policy and New York State Village Law to do that.
So it is correct that when it says the zoning board of appeals shall request the planning board to provide a written recommendation concerning the number of variants. So we are going to do that.
Right. I did.
Okay.
If we think we need a vote to do that, I'll take it.
I don't think we need a vote.
Because he was the able. Thank you. Anybody else for Mr. Kim?
Fresh set of drawings on the way, right?
Fresh set of drawings.
I get you, and I will get you 5 extra sets of the updated ones. Can you hang on to that, please?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'll make a motion, and everybody's done?
Yes.
I'll make the motion and that we accept this application and accept the application of Michael Kimmick for 29 6th Street in Webby. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Maybe a technicality, but the applicant is 6th Street LLC.
The articles of the LLC papers are included in the package.
Yeah, in fact, I note that there are two sets and they're both from the same LLC name.
Yeah, 6th Street LLC.
But we have two sets, I don't get the indication.
Two sets of...
Two sets of articles of organization, both for the same LLC. Are there two separate LLCs?
What, do we just have duplicate documents?
No, I wouldn't.
You may have duplicate documents. There's only one LLC.
When we discussed this a month or two ago, it was indicated that the title would be held by two different entities.
Yes, at the present time, it's one lot, and until such time that you vote on it to become two, the second lot will be set up as a separate LLC. But at the present time, that second lot doesn't exist until such time as the planning commission so deems.
All right, there's a moment. Do you have any more questions?
Well, I'm just, to me, it seems it's the application of 6 feet LLC, not Michael Kimmick.
Well, that might have been me, Mr. Now. I'm reading it off the agenda. So if it pleases the board, I'll
technically, David, that's correct. It's 6 feet LLC.
I'll read it off the application. Okay. I'll make a motion to withdraw that motion.
We don't have to go back to planning for that, do we?
And
off as the second, I'm withdrawing it.
And all in favor?
Aye.
And I'll make a new motion to accept the application of 6th Street LLC, 115 Sutton Street. I guess in Brooklyn. Because I don't have any. Can I write that in so I don't have to make another motion? Is that Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the zip?
One minute.
I have 1122.
Yeah.
Sixth Street LLC, 115 Sutton Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11222. So moved.
Second.
I'll do a roll call vote. David?
Yes.
Diana?
Yes.
Arthur?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes. We have to schedule a public hearing. We'll schedule a public hearing for 6 o'clock on July 18th.
And I will have those extra revised plans for you.
And we're going to do you want to do a site inspection?
Yes.
Yes.
That's always a good idea, John.
Stay down.
We have to ask.
You're right there. You live on 6th Street.
We have to
ask. Wander down.
We'll schedule the site inspection for 5:30. Okay. 5:30. Mm-hmm. And we'll meet on 6th Street at 5:30.
On July 18th?
On July 18th.
Perfect. Good.
And do we need something staked out?
Yeah.
Do we need the...
Both garages and the house.
The two garages.
Okay, I'll have it staked out.
And the addition to the existing house.
Anything you want us...
Anything that's being proposed will be staked. So you'll have an idea of what it is.
And the water line and the sewer line.
Pardon, sir?
And the water line and the sewer line.
Well, the sewer line's on a public street. I'm not quite sure what I can do with that.
Where it's going to exit.
Yeah, I can do that, and I can show you where the water line's going. Absolutely. That's not a problem.
Okay, we'll see you July 18th at
5:30 on 6th Street. Thank you very much.
Before we get to item number 5, There's a little discussion that I was
going to take you. Thank you.
We'll have the discussion directly to the camera for you. I have to say this because I want to dispel some hyperbolic rhetoric that I've been reading, that I've been hearing. The first thing is, I would like to inform the people that no way, no how, this board ever consider abolishing residential over commercial in the commercial retail district. I've read it, I've heard it, it's never been addressed, it's never been considered, it's never even been thought of. There's a previous interpretation that's in fact this board made that said residential over commercial in the commercial. commercial retail district was in fact a permitted use. So for people to say that does a disservice to this, undermines what this board is actually trying to do. The second thing I would like to say is, from outside interests, elected officials, it's been said that this board is trying to abolish multifamily housing in the village of Greenport. That's a blatant lie. What we tried to do here with this interpretation was to define where a certain use, because of an unclear, ill-written, badly progressed law 15 years ago, left certain things unclear. This board's job was to define, definitively define, where a certain use was allowed. It never meant to abolish anything. So when I read from people in positions of authority in this village that this board is trying to abolish multifamily, I think that does a disservice to this board. I think it undermines this board's authority. I think it's inappropriate to even say that, especially when the people that are saying it, that they were in positions of authority, no, it's not the truth. I find it disheartening that this 5 or 6 months work that this board did on this issue is basically trying to be negated simply for political reasons. This board deals, people that know me, my colleagues, the people in the audience that know me, I'm single-minded when it comes to zoning issues. My interest is strictly about labels. It doesn't matter social, moral issues. You go to St. Agnes for moral issues, social issues, you go to a dance. That doesn't concern me. My interest is strictly land use. And if something happens because of an interpretation, it's up to the village board to correct. If something doesn't happen, then you sit on it. For them to negate 6 months worth of work, 2 public hearings, to accommodate special interests of elected officials with a personal agenda, I think is wrong. If I sound harsh, if I sound angry, I apologize. But I think this was an important decision to make. The notice that we got from the village board says that in light of potential changes to the code, not even guaranteed changes, not even future changes, potential changes, we'll talk about it, we'll see. My question to the people are, and it's rhetorical, my question is, how do you build a house, how do you build on something when you don't know what the code says? The only way you know what it says is you get an interpretation from the ZBA. This way, you have a firm foundation to either affirm that, to reject it, to change the code, to leave the code alone. But you don't start without knowing exactly what it says. So, if anybody's interested, I'll read this. If not, I'm sure my colleagues might have a few things to say, and then we'll talk about it. Anybody else?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say that I support very much the comments that you made concerning your concerns about the hobgoblining of this board to advance political agendas. I won't go into it as deeply as you have because I think you covered it very well, but I want to add my voice to that.
Anybody else? No? We're faced with, we have a letter from the village administrator. I'll read it. It says, Dear Chairman Saladino, it's been brought to my attention that the Village of Greenport Board of Trustees will be considering changes to Section 150-18 of the Village of Greenport Code. That section is subject to a recent request by the village to zoning board of appeals for interpretation of that section. In light of potential changes to the subject code section, the village's request for an interpretation of the existing section does not seem necessary at this time. Therefore, we, the village, is withdrawing its request for interpretation of 150-18 of the Greenwood Village Code, signed by Paul Palace, village administrator. Mr. Palace and I had a conversation about this. I understand his position. He understands mine. I also explained to him that since his name wasn't on the request for interpretation, we might, since we're doing things, since there was a question of the legality of even getting this interpretation. And I spoke to the village attorney yesterday. He intended to agree with me that that perhaps the person that signed the request should be the one that withdraws the request. So that's a question we might have to ask. The other question is, we should remind everyone that this board has the right to ask for an interpretation. According to our code, not New York State Village Code, but it has to be an appeal. Greenwood Village Code takes an extra step, and it gives the zoning board of appeals as a board the right to ask for that interpretation. So that might be another thing that this board has to consider.
Given that there's some ambiguity about the status of this request for interpretation, to make sure that we are acting on a valid request, shall we say, I'm going to suggest that we move sua sponte to, that's on a long motion, to request that we ourselves, request ourselves that we continue with the interpretation and address the same questions that were posed to us before. Specifically, we have the authority to do that in section 150-26 of the Greenwood Code, powers and duties of the Board of Appeals. Let's see. It says, on request by any official, board, or agency of the village, whether it's the zoning board of appeals as one, to decide any of the following questions. Determination of the meaning of any portion of the text in this chapter. So given that we have that authority, I move that the board adopts the questions that were presented to us as our own and proceed to deliberate on the interpretation that was requested.
I second that motion.
We have a motion that has been seconded. I'm going to ask this discussion.
Yeah. We've had two meetings to discuss this, and my feeling is that the section as written doesn't give us any guidance, and that's really the end of the debate. And I'm really reluctant to start it all over again. I also think the request for the interpretation was made by the building inspector, an employee of the village, and Paul Palace is her supervisor, and he's asking for it to be withdrawn, which seems to me to make, that's really where we are. It's as far as I'm concerned, been withdrawn. To get into it, let me just finish, couldn't disagree else. To get into it again, presumably we will have the same positions and the same kind of discussion. And my position is simply that it doesn't give us guidance and we have better things to do. So.
I can go either way about Paul Palace being in charge, but who's sorry, but I'm just, because of the conversations that I've had with the village and with the village attorney, it seems like now everything has to be, there was a question about the interpretation, if it was legal to begin with. So as long as we're questioning the legality of the process, then this is a legitimate question, I think. But that becomes moot because we have a motion on the table that's been seconded that the zoning board of appeals makes the request for the interpretation, which I was assured by the attorney yesterday that that is all right.
Okay, and then to allay some of your concerns, we don't start from scratch on this. We can adopt all of the deliberations, you know, and refer to all of the deliberations that we've had at great length on this and proceed from there. We had reached a position last month where we, what was essentially a straw vote, adopted what was the sense of the board with regard to the two parts of the request for interpretation. One was an interpretation of 150-18 and what zoning districts implies, and And the second part was, well then, where is multifamily housing permitted? And we adopted a motion to prepare a resolution that addressed those two positions. First of all, that 150-18 standalone is meaningless because it doesn't have anything to do with or anything to say about what districts in which it applies, and going a step further by looking at zoning district by zoning district, you can easily see what uses are permitted in each district. And that is the sense of, that was the broad sense of the technical motion. I have prepared and it's distributed to all of the members of the zoning board, including the village attorney, a proposed motion that would more extensively set forth those two portions of the interpretation. So what we're asking right now, the motion before us right now, is do we step in the shoes of the village official and raise that question to ourselves, and then we can proceed on the same track that we have been for the past 2 months and presumably conclude this tonight.
My thought is with this question, and I understand this motion on the table. My thought with this question is, in my life, in my 30 years of life.
Not 39.
30. I was always taught, I always went by the system, the paradigm, that the only time you should be afraid to ask a question is when you're afraid of the answer. And I think that's what's happening here. I think for us to ask this, for somebody to ask us this question, and for us to come up with an answer, has set up this massive theory out there and on Facebook and social media that somehow this board is first and foremost trying to usurp the rights of the village board, which we're not. This is an administrative board. They're a legislative board. Whatever we decide here, they have the option to, again, ignore, affirm, reject, change. It's their code to write and to legislate. Nowhere did I ever think that this board was trying to abolish multifamily housing in the incorporated village. I thought all we were trying to do is clarify a 15-year-old badly written interpretation of that law has been left up to the building department, to this town. It's not a resolution, it's a policy that people in the building department chose to go by, whether from voices from above told them to do it, or their own initiative, previous building inspectors, current building inspectors, current village administrators, past village administrators. I just don't understand how a question can be settled without knowing exactly what the question is. I just don't know how new code can be written until you know what the old code says. So to say, well, just drop it because we're probably, or maybe, going to write new code. And that's if the public agrees. There's no guarantee that the public is going to agree on whatever code they came up with. In my mind, it was always best to clarify the answer, give the village board a definitive answer of what exactly that one sentence in 150-9 says, and let them build off of that. A firm foundation is better than building in quicksand. So.
Yeah, because as you say, there's no assurance that the building board's going to act.
If nobody else has any comments, they're okay. So I'm going to call the motion on the table is for the ZBA to act as the official board requesting the interpretation. It's been.
And we're talking about the interpretation of 150-18, not 159, which you just corrected.
Correct.
Is that is the whole other?
150-18, a sub-question of where multifamily
is it permitted?
Your addition of the idea of looking at each district.
Yeah. Well, in response to that portion of the question.
Okay.
That's what we looked at.
So, David?
Yes.
Diana?
No.
Papa?
Yes.
And I'm going to vote yes. If there's one of the members has prepared a draft resolution, be discussed among the members. If he wants, I ask you to read it.
Yep, I'll read it, but as I said, I'm going back to the motion that we adopted last month, that it was on the sense of the board to do certain things. And that is in the minutes of the meeting. So the more expanded motion that we will propose is as follows. As a resolution to propose in I can give you a copy of that.
Sounds good.
Has Joe Brokaw seen it
yet? Yes, he has. And he's distributed widely around the village, I understand. How I learned this in Scotland, I have no idea.
We don't have a copy.
So the resolution being proposed on appeal.
Excuse me, one second.
Yes.
It's a draft, and if and when we accept it, make the corrections, add or subtract to it. Everybody.
Okay. The request for interpretation, the Zoning Board of Appeals, on its own motion, made to make an interpretation of how Chapter 150-18 of the Village of Greenport Code relates to village zoning districts. The requested interpretation should include which zoning districts should use 150-18 as a guideline for development. That is the text of the original request for interpretation, which the ZBA is adopting as its own. By the motion which we just passed. After public hearing held and due deliberation in making the request of interpretation, the The zoning board of appeals examined the text of Article 7, titled Multi-Family Dwelling, Section 150-18 of the zoning code of the Village of Greenport. The ZBA finds that the article does not relate to specific village zoning districts. Indeed, it makes no reference whatever to, quote, zoning districts, unquote. Therefore, the ZBA interprets Section 150-18 neither as having any relation to specific village zoning districts, nor providing any direction or indication as to, quote, which zoning districts should use Section 150-18 as a guideline for development, end quote. ZBA further addresses the question of, quote, which zoning districts should use Section 150-18 as a guideline for development as follows, quote. Section 150-18, titled Standards, does not exist in the zoning ordinance as a standalone provision. It is, in fact, incorporated by reference into Article 4, which deals with the R2 zoning district, Section 150-8, sub B, sub 2, as an enumeration of construction standards, in quotes, that is, some of the physical and dimensional requirements for conversion of an existing building to a multifamily dwelling. Section 150-18 is not a, quote, guideline for development, end quote. The plain language of Article 4, District Use Regulations, and 7, Multifamily Dwelling, unambiguously state the permitted and conditionally allowed uses in each zoning district in the village. Thus, there is no ambiguity to be interpreted in the text of Articles 4 or 7 as to whether multifamily dwellings are permitted or conditionally allowed in a particular district. Paragraph, because the zoning code is, quote, permissive, end quote, a use such as multifamily dwellings is allowed only in the zoning districts in which it is a permitted use. Thus, by plain reading, Chapter 150, Zoning, Article 4, District Use Regulations, states by its omission that multifamily dwellings are not a permitted underlying use in any underlying zoning district, including Section 150-7, R-1, One Family Residence District, Section 150-8, R-2, One and Two Family Residence District, Section 150-9, CR, Retail Commercial District, Section 150-10, CG, General Commercial District, and Section 150-7, WC, Waterfront Commercial District. It is, however, conditionally permitted in the R2 District to convert, quote, an existing dwelling to a multifamily dwelling as provided in Article 7, which includes Section 150-18. That is the extended resolution that is proposed, and I move that we adopt.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call the roll. David?
Yes.
Diane?
Yes.
Hug?
Yes.
And Saladino says yes. I'm going to afford the public a couple of seconds if they have any comments, if anybody has any questions, if anybody is wondering what happened here tonight. We're not going to have a debate, we're just going to try to answer some questions.
Jenny Adam, 3rd Street. I would like to thank every member on the ZBA for the work you have put in on this. I've been at these meetings, I've listened to what goes on, and like the chairman said, I have also been hearing rumblings. One person quoted, "Oh, don't bother going Tuesday night, nothing's going to be said." I show up at meetings anyway because you never know what will be said. So So thank you for all of your hard work. I think that's excellent what was just written, and I support what you've done. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. It was nice to hear. All right, if there's nobody else, we're gonna have a moment.
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What are we gonna do with this? Where does this go?
This is our interpretation of the question that was in front of us. It'll be typed up as it was read, since there was no changes suggested. We'll give it to the village board. Right now, this is the interpretation that the ZBA made about this particular issue.
In response to the building inspector, right?
Well, in this case, in response to ourselves.
That's right.
It's not supposed to. And they can affirm it, they can reject it, they can, well, they...
They can have a public hearing and change the law instead of choose.
Yes, I was giving the options. They can have a public hearing, they can agree with the interpretation and do nothing. They can challenge the interpretation and file for an Article 78. They can have a public hearing, propose a new law, have a public hearing, put it to the public, and change the code.
Or not.
They have that, or not. They have a lot of options on it.
May I?
Sure.
John Winkler, 175th, and I commend the board for all the hard work that they do in volunteerism. I just listened to that, and I don't understand. So, could you simplify basically
sure.
what's happening
sure.
for the public that is watching? Because I didn't understand the word.
This is not official, of course, but in explanation, what we have determined is that section 150-18, which is a list of technical specifications, lot sizes, setbacks, but makes no mention whatever of zoning districts, doesn't give any guidance as to where it is to be applied. However, if it does have a hole, and that is in section 154. That is in section 150-8D, where it says as a conditional use, multi-family can be used to build an existing building can be converted following the guidelines, the structural guidelines, should we say, the building guidelines in 150-18.
Okay, so basically you're not limiting multi-family homes?
No.
Okay,
but when you build them, when
I guess what I did, you can build or convert anywhere in any zone?
No, only in R2 district.
Only in the R2?
No,
okay, that's the part that's...
You can, but that's the existing. So
okay.
It's only the R2. So using the construction standards of 150-18,
okay.
You can convert an existing dwelling in R2 to multifamily.
And those
standards are very
restrictive.
Yeah, they are very
restrictive. Square feet, how many?
Okay.
Well, actually, 150-18 sets different standards for new construction as opposed to a conversion in the R2 district, and that has difference as far as lot sizes.
But
one is 48,000 square feet, one is 50,000.
But let me, I've got another half of this. I need to answer the second half of this
okay.
question, right? And that is that because the code is district by district, says what is permitted by definition, because the code is a permissive code, it means that if it is said to be permitted, it can be done, but if it is not said to be permitted, it cannot be done. So in none of the zoning districts in the village of Greenport is multifamily housing permitted, a permitted use.
Basically, the limitation on multifamily dwellings is the size of the lot.
That has a lot to do
with it. I could take my home and make it a multi-family house. I don't have the square footage or the lot size.
I think it's a bit more technically complicated than that. But as I said, district by district, multifamily housing is not permitted use. However, in the R2 district, it is conditionally permitted to convert an existing building to a multifamily dwelling.
And there are still restrictions like 1,000 square feet for a dwelling unit. So none of that.
No, I just want to be clear, I think, you're not saying you cannot have.
Absolutely.
Like people are accusing you of doing, that you can't have multifamily.
That's not the question that was put to us. That's not, again, this is not, we're not looking at legislation. What we're doing is looking to define a question. All we're doing is to answer the question.
What does the code say about this question?
There seems to be, in my opinion, this whole thing of multifamily and short-term rentals and long-term rentals and second family home, it's sort of coming to a head in the village. I feel an underlying bubble up of this, and it's going to have to be addressed, and I hope that there's an answer to it, but it seems to be a very difficult one. And this is a piece of it, and I just hope that our elected officials can figure it out, because you're absolutely right.
This is a piece of this very, very big set of questions about land use in a crowded area.
Yeah, 1 square mile.
And it's happening all over the country. There are these questions.
Yeah.
But this is a particular question. Authors likes to say, is to put the cart before the horse. To not answer this question before those other questions are resolved is putting the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm.
We should really, and we did, resolve this particular question before those other questions come up.
I don't think there should be any political pressure on this board. I think they should be honest and have the integrity that you bring to this process. And again, I commend you guys and the time you put into this. Thank you.
Thank you. The people in the back, they don't want to say nothing? Okay. I'm going to make a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
For adjourn.
Good idea.
Get your application.
Don't wait.